We do on Sundays here a lot. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight I will be taught the incorruptible, indestructible seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, please remain standing. If you would, open your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. I want to title my message tonight, Filled Up. Everybody say that. Filled Up. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to read verse 18. It says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit. No, I was in the wrong one. I knew that didn't sound right. It was one of my verses, but that wasn't the one I was using my scripture. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God bless the reading of His Word. If you would, take someone's hand next to you. Let's pray together as the family of God in this place. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be here in the middle of the week. Lord, I know that there's so many different needs, so many things going on today. And Father, if there's ever been a moment in history that we need You, Lord, it is right now. Lord, the world has gone crazy. People have lost their minds. It's like everyone has lost their true north and their anchorage, and they're drifting on the sea of life, tossed with every wind of doctrine. And God, we're asking that You will anchor us through the Holy Ghost, that You will fill us by the Holy Ghost, and that, Lord, You'll use us by the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, come. Holy Spirit, You're welcome in this place. I pray for unction. I pray for Your anointing upon the preaching and hearing, and then the living out and walking out of this Word. Touch and bless everyone here, as well as also those absent from us. Lord, we thank You that You're going to move in a mighty way. Thank You for what You've been doing the last 4 weeks at Oakey Grove, especially these Sunday services, Lord, and we see Wednesday night is starting to catch fire too. We pray that, Father, Wednesday night will grow each week all through this summer, not just in number, but in the anointing. So, Lord, come. Sweet anointing, come in this place. We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The Word says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. God's Word says we shouldn't be drunk with wine. Amen? I was on vacation. And Gina's not here, so if you tell on me, I'm going to know who it was. I'm going to memorize every face. But we went to this place called McGuire's to eat steak. We had heard it was good. And Gina said every night while we were gone, she had to work on her schoolwork and her papers and things. And she said, oh, I'm so sleepy after eating this. I said, well, I'm going to get you some coffee. And I looked on there, and there was this coffee, and it was called Irish Coffee. I said, that's probably some good, strong coffee. And I said, bring us two of them. And she said, you sure? I said, that's $6.99 a piece for a cup. I said, baby, it's extra good coffee, I'm telling you, because it was an Irish restaurant pub called McGuire's. And they brought that out, and they handed it, Sister Gina, I know y'all know what it is. I did not know what it was. And they brought it out, and I mean, it's a wonder, Jesse, I started letting her have it, but I said, baby, it's too hot. Let it cool off a little bit before Daddy gives you some. And they brought it out. And Gina took a big sip of that, and she about spit it everywhere. I said, what in the world? Is it nasty? I'll get my money. She said, There's something in this stuff. I said, what are you talking about? And I took it, and I took a big old slug of it, and I'm going to tell you, it made me lightheaded. That stuff had liquor in it. It did. Now, I'm just telling you, I was an innocent bystander of this. This was not intentional. Well, the boy come back to the table, and Arthur's still sitting there just about that much gone out of it. And the other one's sitting there, not touched. And he said, what's wrong with the coffee? I said, man, I can't drink this stuff. I said, I got to drive. I said, I don't drink no way. And I said, my wife's trying to do her study. She's trying to be a nurse practitioner. I said, she won't even know what she's writing if she drinks this stuff. He said, well, didn't you know it's got Irish whiskey in it? I said, no, I didn't know that. And so he gave us our money back. He said, do you want some other kind of coffee? I said, no, I'm not messing with y'all's coffee around here. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, I believe if Gina had drank about two more sips of that, she would have been drunk. Because she tried to tell me it made her dizzy, and she didn't drink that much. There's no way. I said, honey, that is in your head. There's no way. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that love to drink the whole, both of them, and got drunk with it. And I'm not putting people down like that, because I've been there in the past, my old days, though it's been 30-something years ago. Because the Bible says that people, and I'm paraphrasing, people that are discouraged and have lost heart, they will drink the wine. And I'm going to tell you something. There's so many people out there, they're trying to fill an empty place inside of them with wine. They're discouraged. They're depressed. They're down and out. Things aren't going their way, and they think, well, if I just take this drink, or if I just snort that stuff, or if I get in this relationship with that person, then finally I'll be loved. No, I'm going to tell you what we're trying to do is we're trying to fill a hole inside of our hearts that nobody but Jesus can fill. Every person is born with a cross-shaped hole in their heart. And the only one that fill it is the man that stretched out his arms like, I'm going to tell you, a pill won't fill it. A drink won't fill it. A relationship won't fill it. A dollar bill won't fill it. A house won't fill it. A job won't fill it. A hobby won't fill it. Nothing will fill it but the man that hung on the cross, because it's a cross-shaped hole. And once you get that hole filled by Jesus, then the Lord wants to fill you up. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times we think once we get saved, that's the end of it. No, that's just the beginning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That'll make you dance a little bit. I'm glad to know it doesn't stop with salvation. Thank God for John 3:16. Amen. But thank God for Ephesians 5:18. But be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know what? God doesn't want us to be just have a little bit. He doesn't want us to just have a few drops of the Spirit filling us. He wants us to be full and running over, praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people, and I'm talking about Christian people, if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit, okay? But that doesn't mean you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I walked around just partially filled for most of my life until 1996. In 1996, with a gun put to my head, with it loaded with a 40 caliber Hydra shot bullet, I was about to blow my brains out one night, 1:30 in the morning at 1155 Pebble Ridge Drive, Jacksonville, Florida. And that was in July of 1996. I didn't think there was any hope for me. I was discouraged. I didn't think there was any reason to go on living. My wife had left me for another man and had taken my daughter, who was my everything, I thought. And I heard a voice speak to me. And the voice said, put the gun down and ask me to help you. I said, Lord, if something doesn't change in me in the next 30 seconds, I'm going to pick the gun back up. So I put the gun down on the end of the bed. I knelt down and I said, Lord, I just threw my hands up in there. I don't know why. I was a Baptist boy. Never done that in my life that I know of, left. I was trying to flag somebody down. And I said, Lord, if there's something that I'm missing, I'm asking you for it right now. I had no idea what was about to happen to me. I had no comprehension of what that prayer was going to set in motion in my life. Because when I said, Lord, if there's something else that I do not have, I'm asking you to give it to me now. When I prayed that and I meant it from deep down in my heart, I want you to know it was just like when Elijah went up on Mount Carmel and he took that sacrifice and he put it on the altar and he said, now everybody cover it down with water. Dig a trench around it. Fill the trench up with water. He said, and we're going to see whose God is really God. And he let the idol worshipers pray to their God. And they mumbled and jumbled and bumbled all day long and not one thing happened. But then when a man with a sincere heart that was broken before God, he called out and he said, now, my Lord, let them see who is God. And I'm going to tell you, when he called, God answered. And the Bible says fire fell like a lightning bolt out of heaven. It hit that sacrifice. It burned it up in a poof. It evaporated it and sucked up all the water in the trench. The Bible, King James says it licked up the water in the trench. Glory to God. And I'm going to tell you something. When I prayed and said, Lord, if there's something I do not have, I'm asking you for it now. Let me tell you, I had no idea what was about to take place. He was fixing to mess me up. Mess up the way I thought things ought to go. Mess up my ideas, my pattern for what the Christian life was all about. He was going to mess up all of my goals. He was fixing to wreck all of my dreams. He was fixing to all of a sudden, because of what was going to happen to me, there was going to be people that wouldn't have nothing to do with me anymore, and yet God was going to open the door to meeting thousands more. And I knelt down when I prayed that, and I'm going to tell you, there were two windows in front of me, just like those two doors, and there was a door, glory to God, this is anointed to be told tonight. There was a door just like this going into the bathroom, and it was just cracked. And the door going into the hall was immediately to my right. It was shut. And those two windows were shut. When I prayed, Lord, there's something I don't have. Let me have it now. God is my witness. I saw light come from under that window behind Brother Edsel, behind that window behind Sister Alexis. I saw light come from the crack in that door by Brother Harry. And I saw light come from that door, under that door, by Sister Celette. And it came from all four directions. And I saw it. I was watching it. I looked like a possum setting up in a gallberry bush watching. And it swooped down over me. And I felt like somebody was pouring hot oil on my head. And I, not burning hot, but like warm, soothing. Oh, and I felt it on my head running down my neck. And the crazy thing is, immediately at the same time, I felt it like when you swallow warm coffee, I felt it going down into my stomach. And let me tell you something. While I was knelt down there on the floor, that hit me. And I felt a change immediately come over me. I felt like somebody lit me up with 10 million volts of electricity. And I began to pray in tongues. Well, I just don't believe in that. Well, you know what? I didn't either. But baby, you let what happened to me happen to you. You believe. And I prayed in a language. I don't even know what I said. I couldn't begin to tell you. I wouldn't try and replicate it tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. I felt like there was just waves, like when you're out in the water and the waves are hitting you in the head. I felt like there were waves of just liquid love. You know what we felt in here Sunday morning? You remember how the Holy Ghost fell in this place Sunday morning? I'll tell you, the last four Sundays have been off the chain. And this past Sunday, there were people crying as I was preaching out here, tears flowing, and people lined up here across this side by side from about Brother Harry all the way beyond about Sister Celette, because they wanted to bring their burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But what brought the house down, what brought the Holy Ghost down, was there was a little girl that had been shaken by her daddy. She's 6 years old. She can't see. She's blind. She can't walk. Her head kind of dangles over. To look at the child child. She's one of the most gorgeous, beautiful children you've ever seen. Dark hair, dark eyes, beautiful complexion. But she has that need. She has a problem. She's been shook. She's been hurt by somebody that should have loved her. And she was in that wheelchair. And let me tell you something. When we gathered around and began to lay hands on her and pray for her, I'm going to tell you, it was like God just opened up heaven and started pouring out those same waves of liquid love like I felt that night I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm like Brother Kurt. Kurt told me, said, Brother Tom, I was believing for God to cause her to get up right out of that wheelchair and walk. And I said, I was too, but I'm still believing. I'm still believing. If God can take 17 tumors out of a woman's head that was up here one night, if God can take cancer out of a person's belly that we prayed for, if God can take a person that was headed straight for hell and turn them around and give them a new destination, if God can save a marriage, God can heal that child. I'm not talking about some wuss of a God. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. I'm talking about the God that is the great I Am, that is Isaac, Jacob, and who is the one that is coming one day. I'm talking about a mighty God. A mighty God tonight. Glory to God. And He is on the move. I gave Brother Jamie instructions to start a song. And God willing, we'll sing it Sunday. Gina's got the music. It's called God is on the move, on the move. Hallelujah. God is on the move in so many ways. I said, we're going to start singing that here. And Lord willing, be this Sunday, because that's what God's been doing. God's on the move. And I'm going to tell you something. It was those same liquid waves of love that I felt that night. I knelt down in front of those two windows. And when I got up, I want you to know I have never in my life experienced anything like that. And there's many of you that have had that experience. Brother Keith Newsom, I saw him have that experience one night in Chattanooga, Tennessee, didn't you, brother? I'll never forget, I've told this before, but there was a man, he was from, where was he from, Sweden or Holland? Somewhere like that. He talked to like a diesel. You remember that guy on the Carol Burnett show? Mrs. Wiggins. You remember that guy? Y'all don't remember that. Lord have mercy, y'all some young babies. Well, you got too old to remember, Richard. I'm talking about those still got the memory. You remember? Hallelujah. Tim Conway played this boss, and he had that hairpiece, and he said, Mrs. Wiggins, will you please come into my office? That's about the way this guy talked. His name was Leif something. And we were up there at a conference at Brother Ron Phillips Church, Keith and Lori and me and Gina. And I don't remember if there's anybody else with us. I just remember us being there. And it was a fresh old new wine conference. He was getting set up. He didn't know. He went to the fresh old new wine conference. A bunch of crazy spirit-filled Baptists up there. Now that ought to give him a hint, the name of it, but he didn't catch on, I don't think, quite yet. And he got there and he said, I don't know about this falling out kind of stuff. I said, well, brother, all I can tell you is real. I said, it doesn't happen to me all the time. I tell people I got a stand-up anointing for some reason. I don't fall out very much, but I have a couple of times. Brother Harry will tell you it's about the same with him. But I said, I can tell you it is real. And Brother Keith said, well, I'm going to go up there and get prayed for. And he was standing there. And Leif, is that how you say it? Leif or Leaf?
Wait a minute. The fellow was speaking who I wanted to pray for me, but he had so many people around him, he couldn't pray for me. And this other guy came up, this Leif guy, and I couldn't understand what he was saying. You know, he talked with an accent, so he started praying for me, and the next thing I knew, I woke up on the ground.
I saw it happen. He didn't even get to touch Keith. He got about from me to Celeste, and I promise you, his feet come about 3 foot off the ground. Hold that foot up. Hold it up there one time. Serious, hold that foot. That's a pretty big old foot now, I'm going to tell you. Ronald McDonald ain't got nothing on this brother, I'll just tell you. And I seen them two size 14s go up in the air, and I seen Keith, booyah, he hit that floor. And I don't remember if Gina or Lori, somebody said, "You reckon he's all right?" And I thought, "Well, I think he is. We'll check on him in a minute." And so went checked on. He was out. And when he woke up, he was drunk in the Holy Spirit. He was drunk in the Spirit. Now, I'm telling you all this. Some people, if I was to tell this to, they think you've gone mad. But I'm telling you, you trust what Keith says. You trust what Brother Tom says. This is real stuff. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't mean it's going to happen all the time, all the time, all the time, okay? There's some people getting the other ditch. They think if they don't have a message in tongues or if somebody don't fall out, they hadn't had church. I've been in churches like that. And what they've gotten into is a rut where they kind of work it up and they flip a switch. But I'm going to tell you, when you pray for God to move, and he's moving, and that's what's happening in this season in this church. Let me tell you something. It happens organically. In other words, it happens without us working it up. Now, we got to have faith. We got to believe, you know, and we ought to put our heart into the worship. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm so glad tonight that even if I've been filled with the Spirit and I feel like he's leaked out, I can get refilled. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe we get saved one time. But I believe we get filled and refilled with the Spirit over and over through your life. And the reason is because we all got little leaks. We leaky, Sister Joyce. We leaky. We all got little cracks in us. What do you mean? I mean, when there's not a one of us perfect. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you're not perfect. Neither am I." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you a crackpot." We all crack pipes. That's what we are. But the good news is God uses cracked things, doesn't he? He uses broken things. Amen. God likes to use broken things. You know why? Because if we were perfect, he couldn't get any of the glory. If we were all perfect, we'd say, "Look what we did." But see, when he uses a cracked pot, that old cracked pot has to say, "It wasn't me. It was him. It was him." Amen. Listen, be filled. Be filled with the Spirit of God. I hadn't even followed my notes. I only know they're somewhere up there. But let me tell you, one of the secrets to being filled is to be willing to be controlled by the Spirit. That's the secret to being filled and not leaking out so much, is to stay under God's control. Be controlled by the Spirit. And then when you're controlled by the Spirit, let me tell you something. Be courageous in the Spirit. Because if you're filled with the Spirit, God's going to tell you to do things that sometimes are going to stretch you a little bit. Here a couple of weeks ago, there was a young lady sitting by Sister Violet. And I'd seen her once or twice before. And it was near at the end of the service. And I walked up to her and gave her a word of knowledge. And I don't spit these things out. I don't do this unless I feel like God's telling it to me. And to be honest with you, I have to confess to you, God's given me a lot of words of knowledge I didn't give out because I was afraid. I'm just being honest. I was afraid. I thought, "Lord, what if this isn't right? Or what, Lord, if they think I'm crazy?" Really, it's kind of a little bit of pride. I don't want to look bad. I'm being honest with you. But that day, I was like, "I'm not worrying about it. God's moving. I know he's moving." And so I gave her a word of knowledge. And I don't even remember all I told her. But I remember there was something about, though some may have told you they don't love you, there's one that does love you. And she just broke. Tears started rolling like somebody had opened a faucet. And I don't remember what else I told her. Sister Violet was telling me something at supper. What was it, Violet?
As he was speaking the word over her, it hadn't been 10 or 15 minutes because the Holy Ghost had been rolling over her the whole service, from the song service on. But as Brother Tom started speaking over her, it hadn't been 10 to 15 minutes before she reached over and whispered in my ear with tears running in her face and told me that the man that she thought loved her had told her he didn't love her. She wasn't worthy enough for his love. And Brother Tom didn't know this because you were preaching. And so when Brother Tom spoke the word of knowledge over, she just fell on me. And she knew that I had not said, I mean, she knew that nothing had been said. And she just grabbed hold of me and just, I mean, she just lost it totally. And then you looked at me and you said, you looked kind of like, is she all right? And I said, you said, did that? I said, that just happened to her. And it had happened to her on a Thursday night before she showed up here on a Sunday.
See, that's what's called the word of knowledge. And that was God at work, see. And there were others given out that day, and people received it, and they told me it was on target. I had one Sunday, and none of this is for my glory, because you can get a word of knowledge just as good as I can, probably way better than me, because I got a lot more leaks than most people. But because I got a lot of hell and damnation in me. I'll just be honest with you. I do. I ain't supposed to say this word, but I got you-know-what and vinegar in me, and I've been trying not to say it, because my wife made me promise I wouldn't say piss and vinegar anymore, and I'm trying not to. But I got a lot of that in me, and I know it, okay? I know I said it, but I wasn't saying it, saying I was just trying so y'all know what I was talking about, and she ain't here, so I figured I'd kind of get by with the word is, he says, doing that to the wall, against the wall. It's, yeah, I know it. That's what I tried to tell her. She said, I know it's in the Bible. But, you know, in her Pentecostal voice, she said, but glory to God, Tom, you don't have to do that at church. I mean, but I'm telling you, we can all do this. We just got to be open to the Lord. And see, when he fills us with the Spirit, it's not to have little picnics. It's not for us as, where's Jeff at? Jeff still in here? Jeff, what did we say? It's not what? It's not about me. It's all about him. So as he gives us this anointing to help somebody. And I'm going to tell you, so that's right. And we've got to be courageous with that anointing. You know, God will tell you to go see somebody under that anointing. You need to do it because God will minister in that anointing. Amen? So you got to be controlled and you got to be courageous. And I'm going to tell you something else about the anointing and the being filled with the Holy Spirit. The anointing, what is anointing? First of all, when I'm talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he anoints you. And like Sunday, when we felt the presence of God, that's the anointing. And what is the anointing? It is the tangible, visible, absolute power presence of God Almighty. The anointing breaks the yoke and destroys the burden. And that's what the Bible says. It breaks the yoke. You know, like you put a yoke on oxen to control. It breaks that yoke and it destroys the burden. The anointing makes everything easier. It does. Let me tell you, preaching is so much easier since I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Sister Sarah's daddy was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, it's all the difference in the world preaching when you're anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost than when I tried to do it before. Not that God didn't bless me before, he did. But it's way different. I love it. I love it. But you got to be controlled. And then be courageous. But the last thing I just want to say about this is when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Do you know what heaven is for? Heaven's not a reward for us. A lot of people think of heaven, that's my reward. And some people call it that. The truth is, it's not my reward because I didn't do anything to get heaven. Jesus did it on the cross. When he said it is finished, he paid it. He paid. Jesus paid it all. And heaven's not my reward. I didn't go there and build heaven. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's the one that building the matches. He's the one that in charge of all that. What is heaven for then? It's home. But heaven is to be enjoyed. It's a place where God enjoys his children and his children enjoy their father. Hey, you know when you get your children at home, let me tell you, that's why I love holidays when I can get my family together. Just being together, it don't matter if we're eating boiled peanuts. One Christmas, I went to get Hannah on Christmas Day, and I didn't get anything to cook because I just assumed somewhere would be open. There was nothing open. We were eating crackers on Christmas. Hannah still calls it the Cracker Christmas. And that's the truth. But you know what? We were together and we enjoyed it. And that's what heaven's for, so we can enjoy it. But let me tell you, the filling of the Holy Spirit is a little foretaste of heaven. And so enjoy it. God wants you to enjoy Him just like He enjoys us. So be filled with the Spirit. And by the way, He doesn't say if you want to be filled, does He? Well, that scripture's gone now, but anyhow, it says, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. God declares, we're commanded, right, sister? We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And you know why? Because you know what? The devil don't fight fair. And I can't beat that devil without having supernatural power. Amen? I need the supernatural power and fire of God in me. Amen. You know, the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion, and that's that anointing. You know, David was anointed. That's how he could stand before Goliath and not shake in his boots. And I'm going to tell you, the anointing, it will help you to win in life against the devil, against your flesh, against whatever comes against you, and to glorify God. Amen. Amen. Let's raise children that are Holy Ghost-filled children. Amen. Let's raise up an army, a generation of kids that know what it's like to pray in the Spirit, that know what it's like. Let me tell you, my little girl, and I give the credit to her mama, but she wasn't at nursery school. What do you call it? Preschool. We don't call it nursery school no more. Patty's looking at me smiling. Gina probably caught me on it. We don't call it nursery school. It's not a preschool. She was at the Methodist preschool maybe about 2 days, and they started telling me, said, oh, we love Jessie Kate. I said, well, I do too, but why? She said, when we sing songs, she's raising her hands, praising God. And said, when we have prayer time, she walks up to little kids and starts laying her hands on them, praying for them. And she's praying, blah, 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 blah. You might can't understand it, but I promise you God is. And I'll tell you, I can't tell you the number of times that when I be praying for somebody, she'll come up there and pray with me. Hannah, when she was little, and I still believe Hannah, I'm claiming the promise over Hannah. That seed was sown, but I can remember many times laying hands on people praying, and I'd feel a little foot come up and touch, be side by side, touching next to mine, and she'd lay her hands and be praying in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let me tell you something. Let's raise Spirit-filled children, Spirit-empowered children, children that are devil chasers. Amen. Because God wants us to raise a victorious generation to come up. Amen? Amen? Well, God bless you. Thank y'all for being here tonight. We're going to all stand, and we're going to sing one last song. And if you need prayer for something, we'll be glad to pray with Brother Kurt, Brother Harry, if y'all will come on down. Praise the Lord. Y'all get